Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. On today's show, I'm joined by David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, to debate the question of who will win a championship first, the Warriors or the Heat.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
David, thanks for joining me. You just got done with your season, with the Heat falling in six games to the Lakers in the NBA Finals on Sunday. Meanwhile, I've been doing this podcast without games since March. The Heat seem primed to compete for a championship with their core of Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler Hero for the foreseeable future. But the Warriors should bounce back with its core of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green all being healthy next year. So what I wanted to explore here with you is who between the Heat and the Warriors will win a championship next. What's your case for Miami?
Oh, for Miami, I guess it's probably the quote-unquote Eastern Conference. It's a lot easier to see their path to success if things kind of holds, you know, to the same level as it did during the bubble. That Milwaukee might take a step back or might not be able to duplicate their success. Maybe Boston doesn't take another evolutionary step. And whether or not Brooklyn's experiment with Steve Nash as their head coach, maybe it falls apart. Toronto's going to get a little bit older. And so for Miami, maybe they make a move to acquire another star this offseason, although, of course, they're always looking to 2021, where they'll have a lot more salary cap space available. But for now, they could add another star player, maybe a Victor Oladipo, maybe make a trade, maybe add some more wing depth or another big to kind of help back up Bam Adebayo. And if they all take another step, then as far as the East is concerned, they've got a pretty good shot of being able to advance past all the other teams there, including Milwaukee.
Where would you rank their young core compared to the other young cores in the Eastern Conference? Obviously, we're talking about Boston with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And you know, some of these other guys, they're high on Grant Williams and Romeo Langford. You've got Philly, who I guess is still a young core with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Toronto, with if they re-sign Fred VanVleet, they've obviously got Pascal Siakam. Where does Miami stack up?
Do you include Duncan Robinson as part of the quote-unquote young
sure.
core?
Yeah,
because he's a little older. Like, well, he's 26, but he's only been in his second year, and most of that was spent in the.
And he seems to be a late bloomer based on his story. I look. Toronto has guys like DeLon Wright and other guys who are you know quote-unquote young. So I think all those guys are part of the fringes of that young core.
I just don't know where Kendrick Nunn's level reaches. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a big question. And we saw that kind of exploited during the playoffs where he wasn't really much of a functional player. And while a lot of the storylines were about him having contracted COVID and that taking him out of the rotation, the reality was that he just proved to be unplayable because he's not a great defensive player. He doesn't make plays for others right now. And so you have to hope that there's another level for him as a playmaker to kind of balance out that aggressive scoring need. Other than that, I think you've got Tyler Hero, who shows some growth there. I think he already evolved as a playmaker during the hiatus. I think that's the next step for him and maybe some continued growth in the defensive end. And then as far as Bam Adebayo is concerned, I mean, you and I have talked about it. I know you're pretty bullish on Bam's growth. I think he's an incredible player defensively and offensively. He's just going to continue to grow because we saw during the playoffs a willingness to kind of shoot from 15 to 18 feet that we did not prior to the hiatus. Before that, he just wasn't going to score outside of the restricted area at all. Then he starts kind of letting it go a little bit more from mid-range. The next step, perhaps incorporating a three-pointer. I'd like to see that more and more often once next season starts. So,
and they've also – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as far as the overall comparisons, I'd have to say it's as good as anybody's. Like, I'm not sure what the next level is for Boston. I'm not as bullish about Toronto's quote-unquote young core, especially Van Vliet leaves. So I'm not sure what's next. They continue to find ways of developing players, but I think it's on a par with Boston's and maybe even a little bit better.
I think that's fair. You know, I think with Jason Tatum, he's going to be a bona fide top 10 player. I think you could say that about Bam Adebayo as well. I think that's absolutely fair. We saw that, you know, we saw that one-on-one, you know, happen right in front of our eyes with the Bam block in the conference finals there. The other thing with Miami, which you got to give them credit for, is they have Eric Spoelstra, who outcoached everybody from Mike Budenholzer to Brad Stevens. And I would even say probably outcoached Frank Vogel in the NBA finals in this postseason. He's as good a coach in the NBA. You know how I feel about Spo. I think he's the best coach in the NBA, and I don't really think it's particularly close anymore. The only other guy I would put up there is maybe Nick Nurse, who happens to coach Toronto. So if they met up in a series, you know, that could maybe be more of a wash than it was even when Spo was going up against Brad Stevens. But considering that, I think Miami has the better player in Jimmy Butler, a better young core like you just talked about, I would still give the Heat the edge of as far as who in the East is going to make it to the finals next. I still think the Celtics upside is so high, though, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They have so much versatility, specifically on the perimeter, that they can just give a lot of teams trouble. Obviously, the Bucks still have Giannis, at least maybe for one more year. We'll see. And you can't really discredit his revenge tour potential here that I think could be problematic for any team going through him. Like if we finally get Giannis, you know, at his best in the playoffs, if he develops a mid-range shot or even a three-point shot and sort of unlocks this game and takes like this LeBron-type turn where you can't really just saddle back on all of his drives anymore, then that's obviously that's a game changer. And then you've got Kevin Durant. If he's at 80% of what he was his last season in Golden State, Brooklyn's a contender. Say what you will of Steve Nash, what you think of that hire, Kyrie Irving, what you think of him and his leadership and what he does. But if Kevin Durant is at that level, they're a contender, period, end of story. I don't care what you say. So I think that the East could be pretty deep next year, but I think the Heat have a good a chance as anybody of coming out of it. I think they proved that, and they're not gonna be as scared of anybody, right, in that conference, regardless of what we're talking about. But I'll get to my case for the Warriors, but first, let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions, but the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order, plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Remember to tune in every Tuesday for Target Tuesday, in which I break down a draft, free agent, or trade option the Warriors can pursue this offseason. But David, as far as my case for the Warriors go, again, I'm here with David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat. The Warriors' case is they get Steph, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green back. They're all healthy. Draymond Green played 40-plus games this last year, but he wasn't really that interested in them. So you get him at his peak powers, at his peak motivation, plus obviously Steph and Klay. This was a team that had the 30th-ranked offense in the league last year, the 26th-ranked defense in the league last year. But getting all those guys back should at least bring them to the top half of the league in those categories. And then it's really determined on what they can do this offseason. And they've got that healthy core. And they have now Andrew Wiggins to add to it, who I think is going to be a much better fit there than he was in Minnesota. They've got a traded player exception that they can use worth $17.2 million. They've got a mid-level exception. They, by the way, have the number two pick in the draft that they can use either on a high or a top-end talent as far as a rookie is concerned, or trade that pick for a potential star, right, this offseason. They have a lot of ways to add to a championship core already. They're still coached by Steve Kerr. The only thing to me would be, how do they stack up against the Lakers and the Clippers next year?
Yeah, and that's my point too, is that I don't think there's any doubt that even as good as Miami was and as good as they possibly could be next year, even if they don't wind up adding another complimentary star, I think the Warriors are still a better team. I think they're just well coached. They've got great depth. They've got great talent, obviously, if everybody's healthy and 100%. And I think they'll be a strong contender moving forward, without a doubt. It's just the concern about how and if they'll be able to compete against the Lakers, against the Clippers, even an up-and-coming Denver's team. I mean, there's just a lot of different teams there that can contend and challenge them. I don't know what happens with the Rockets. I don't think anybody does, but it's just the Western Conference. Maybe it's the same argument that people have had for years, is the West is always going to be more difficult to get out of. Maybe that's the case. I don't think it was necessarily as prevalent this year because of the whole equalizing factor of the bubble. But at the same time, it's certainly been a challenge for any team to kind of advance. And you need to be playing as well as possible in order to have a chance at the finals. And you can't have any kind of injury issues, which obviously Golden State has known their fair share of over the last couple of years. I don't know. I like the Warriors' chances as a title contender. It's just they have to go through a much more difficult road than Miami does in order to get there.
But like Miami, we know they're not going to back down from anybody because, you know, they don't have that gritty kind of thing going on, but they do have a kind of just sort of mental confidence, like this, like Tiger Woods, like just focus sometimes and just confidence that they are the best team on the floor and they're going to bend other team strategies to match theirs. They're not going to necessarily try to match up to other teams. Now we'll see what that looks like when you go up against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, which they've never had to do. I think that would be easily the best opponent they've ever had to get through in the West. And that includes a couple of like really good Rockets teams, but that's sort of where I'm at is I don't think that they will fear any of those teams. I just wonder, you know, the argument that I always hear from Warriors fans is, yeah, the Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis, but who's their third best player? Who's their fourth best player? Who's their fifth best player? Golden State has better players. That's the same. I think you're about to make this point. That's the same argument that Miami had going into these finals, and we saw how that turned out.
Well, I mean, that's fair, but also the injury issue, I think, really took Miami from being the best version of themselves. Right. You know how I feel about it. I still believe that Miami was the better team despite their record in the finals. I think they could have been much more competitive of a series. I think they would have eventually beat the Lakers if Goran and Bam had been healthy throughout the first few games of that series. So that's a whole other argument. We'll never know how that would have turned out. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, like one of the things that really stood out to me about Eric Spoelstra on this playoff run is how willing he was able to make changes, but nothing to overhaul the identity of this team. And I feel like Steve Kerr is similar in that mindset. Maybe you can answer this a lot better than I can, or I'm sure you can, but is the process then to adapt to contend against the front court size of the Lakers, or to just say, this is who we are and we're going to play this way and you're going to have to match that? Because given what we've seen from the Warriors in the past, like, I don't know that the Lakers can defend a Curry and a Thompson consistently enough to really knock them off their throne.
That's what they're banking on. If they were going to completely change their identity to try to match up with the Lakers, that would involve a complete teardown of the roster, basically. Like, it would involve Draymond Green not playing center, right? And that would kind of dramatically change their entire strategy. So they understand that they're sort of locked into what this is, for better or worse. I think they're going to go out and get, you know, a traditional 7-footer type center that they could bring off the bench. Your Andrew Bogut or your Zaza Pachulia, but not this guy who's going to, you know, be a major factor, or we'll play meaningful minutes, but just another guy. You know, they use a platoon of centers. So they'll probably end up with Kevon Looney, Marquise Chris, and some like Cody Zeller type or something like that in the offseason.
So not a floor spacing big, because I know you and I have talked about Myers.
They could. I just, how many of those guys are available? Like maybe it's Myers Leonard or Aaron Baines, but those guys are both like 7-footers, you know, and they kind of are the best of both worlds. We saw the Heat do that with Bam Adebayo and Myers Leonard. I think they can go in that direction, but it's not going to be like this sudden, let's go get, you know, DeMarcus Cousins at center again. Let's not try to go get this all-star center. I think that this is going to be, they will match up technically that way, but and then, you know, obviously try to get the Lakers and even the Denver Nuggets and the Clippers to try to adjust to their game, which they know better than anybody else and do better that specifically than anybody else in the league. I do want to make one last point and talk about what the Warriors would do if they met the Heat in the NBA Finals. We'll get to that next. But first, let's talk about Roman, because talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or avoid the conversation altogether. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lockedonNBA and complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and just take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. David, what if the Warriors met the Heat in the NBA Finals next season? Is that a good matchup for Miami?
No, I think it would be a terrible one. I think that kind of... there were even concerns about that from Boston, which is a far worse shooting team than the Warriors. So to me, I don't think Like you'd see probably a lot of zone having to kind of moving players along the perimeter, trying to close out as quickly as possible. But given how well Golden State shoots the ball or could potentially shoot it based on whatever roster they field next year, I think that would be a really dangerous matchup for Miami. I just don't see any way that they could match up with that. There would be a lot of trying to work their way into the paint, maybe find a weak zone there in Golden State's defense as far as creating their own opportunities. But I think, the Duncan Robinson matchup against Clay would probably be very negated in Miami's favor. I think that Duncan probably would not be able to get those kind of shots off that he's able to get pretty consistently throughout the playoffs you saw even Kentavious Caldwell-Pope limiting what he could do for the first few games of the finals. So I imagine that would probably not be a favorable matchup for the Heat. As far as Steph is concerned, there's nobody on Miami's team, as far as their point guards are concerned, that could match up with that. The point of attack has always been a really big problem for Miami defensively. So it's about forming that wall like they do with Giannis or things of that sort. But nobody has the speed. Nobody has the quickness to be able to match up with a Curry like that. And, of course, there's always the threat of him shooting from 30 feet out anyway. So I think that would go very badly, even worse than the actual finals did against the Lakers.
Wow. Because on paper, they seem to match up well, right? Bam versus Draymond. You've got Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero shooting from three, just like Clay and Steph are. I think the X factor for Miami would be Jimmy Butler. But I think the Warriors are, not right now, but at least would be planning to have guys that they could throw at Jimmy Butler, whether it be Andrew Wiggins or Clay Thompson and whoever else that they acquire this offseason. But on paper, I think it seems like a more even matchup. The Warriors don't have that the Lakers did have is that ability to just beat up the Miami Heat on the boards and force them out of that zone that they like to go to so much. Like, the Warriors are not a good rebounding team either. And so that threat won't be there in a matchup against Miami. And again, I think the Jimmy Butler thing is a little bit of it could kind of throw him off. Like, who does Draymond guard? Does he guard Jimmy Butler or does he guard Bam Adebayo? I think you would have to have him guard Bam, but maybe you don't. I don't know. That said, the Heat would basically be trying to beat the Warriors at their own game, and we've seen that the Warriors can win championships like that several times already. So,
yeah, I think that's a good point. I think Goran Dragic has historically played very well against Golden State. I don't know if that's going to be the case moving forward, given his injury situation. But I maybe it would be a little bit more even. I guess. I kind of just reacted quickly there, imagining the Warriors being as strong as they've been when they have been legitimate title contenders and what Miami can do moving forward. There are so many questions about this Heat team. I have some strong doubts about their ability to duplicate their level of success, even though I kind of argued otherwise in that first segment. I don't know. Their matchup does not seem to me as even keel. And Bam, if you're going to leave him open, and we've seen that on occasion, he can be a go-to scorer or at least a guy who can initiate a lot of offense. But I don't know that he's necessarily the same kind of level of concern as a Curry or Thompson. You know, you're not going to be worried about Bam going off for 30 plus points. I think it's just a matter of him contributing over 18 or maybe getting to the line and getting into foul trouble a lot. And if that's the case, maybe you have a chance to make it a lot more even. I don't know.
I think it's fair. And I think just to sort of wrap this conversation up, but so in a head-to-head, I think we would both pick the Warriors over the Heat. And like you said, a lot of questions this offseason for both teams. Do they even get Dragic back in the case of the Heat? What do the Warriors do with all the second pick in the draft and the TPE and all this stuff? But projecting forward as much as we can, I think we still like the Warriors slightly more than the Heat in a hypothetical finals. That said, the Warriors still need to go through the Lakers. The Heat don't have to do that. And just to kind of follow up on the original prompt here, David, if you had to bet $5 on which team would win the next, would at least go to the next, you know what? No, let's go for the whole thing. Who would win a championship next between the Warriors and the Heat? You got to bet $5. Who are you betting it on?
I'm betting it on the Warriors.
Yeah, I think I'm there too. I'll take $2 and put them on the Heat though. I'll break up the five. All right. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thank you to Built Bar and to Roman for sponsoring today's episode. You could send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks to David Ramil for joining today's show. You can follow his podcast, Locked On Heat, as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Find him on Twitter at DRamil13. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. I'll see you here tomorrow morning.